I want to draw your attention this evening to another question from this book of Job that really sets before us and impresses upon our hearts some solemn but true lessons about life, death, and eternity. You will find the question in the first verse of Job chapter 7. And it's the first question because there are two there and they're connected. They are related, the one to the other. But it's the first question that I want to take as our text this evening. Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? This question comes from the same section that we considered last Lord's Day evening, namely Job's response, his first response to the first of his friends or comforters, Eliphaz. And in this section, Job is responding to Eliphaz, and he sets forth the fact, particularly in chapter 6, his desire for death. He no longer wished to live. We emphasized that he was not contemplating suicide. No, that's something altogether different. But such was Job's loss. Such was his pain. Such was his discomfort. And such was his helplessness. He sat down in the dust and ashes with the potsherd to scrape himself, to try and find some relief from that plague of boils that afflicted him, and contemplating the loss of his family, the loss of his wealth and his business, and the affliction that he felt in his body. He simply felt that he wanted to end or have his life brought to an end and go to be with the Lord. And he asked that question, what is mine end? And we considered it last Lord's Day evening. But as chapter 7 begins, he starts with another question. It's the question, is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? And as I read some of the commentators this week, some there seems again to be just difference of opinion in why Job asked that question. Some suggest that he's asking it because he's coming to the point where he recognizes that he has a knowledge of his bounds upon the earth. The bounds of his life were set, and he would not pass them. He would not die before that appointed time by the Lord. And that's certainly the sense that seemed to come to me as I read it. Others have a differing thought on that, why he asked that question. But he asked this question. It seems to be that he comes to recognize man's bounds are set by God, and there was an appointed time to man in general, but also to him upon the earth. As you think about this earth, and just as we continue to set the scene for this question, you think about this earth. It has been in existence long before you ever set foot upon it. Before you began your earthly journey, the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And you can trace the earth and its origins back thousands of years, long before you ever came along. And the earth will be here long after you ever leave, or when you come to leave. The media, and I'm sort of going to get off script just now, but I'm going to say it anyway. And I don't think you need me to tell you this, but the media have a biased agenda. And they're biased in virtually almost every main story they report upon. And don't you let them tell you otherwise, because man, particularly sinful man, can't be unbiased. And the big media push at the minute is to save the planet, They've heard it from I was a child. It used to be the ozone. You never hear about the ozone now. And there was a big hole in the ozone and we were all going to be fried in the 80s because the ozone protects us from the sun. You never hear that anymore. But now we're destroying the planet from within, and all the school children, my, they were taking a day off school to protest to save the planet. Now, I want to say something else. I believe that we should look after the planet that God has given to us. But it's the height of nonsense. Absolute, and I'm being polite when I say that. It is the height of nonsense to suggest that man will destroy this planet so that he is no longer able to live upon it, or that somehow it will disintegrate and the planet and humanity will be wiped out. It's not going to happen. I'll tell you why it's not going to happen. Because God says the heavens and the earth that are now, 2 Peter chapter 3 and it's verse 7, the heavens and the earth that now are, they're reserved unto the judgment of the last day. God's reserving them. God's preserving them. And the earth will be here long after the youngest in this meeting, if the Savior doesn't come back first, the youngest child in this meeting might only be a few months old, but if that child lives to adulthood and old age and dies, the earth will be here long after that child is gone if the Savior hasn't returned first, because the Lord will reserve and preserve the earth unto judgment. So I'm just setting the scene. The earth has been here from creation. The earth will be here until the second coming of the Lord, before you were ever thought of, long after you will ever be gone. And Job is saying, man, you've just a little time in between. Between creation and the judgment, you've just a little time in between. You see, we can answer this question, and we can answer it in the affirmative. Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? We can say, yes, there is. Yes, there is. Man has an appointed time upon earth. I want to say a couple of things about that. First of all, man's days are appointed. And I'm going to explain that. His days are appointed. The commencement of your time on earth has been appointed. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 and 2. Solomon speaking about there's a time for every purpose under heaven. And he says there's a time to be born. A time to be born. A set time for each individual to come into this world. And let me go further and say, your very conception and birth was no random accident of chance or passion. No, it was appointed of God. In the womb and from the womb, God knew you. God saw you, not merely as a fetus, but as a real person and as a true person. That's why we oppose the abortion of the unborn, and will continue to oppose it. And men from outside this province might bring it in and impose it upon the people of Northern Ireland. God will judge them. God will deal with them. Psalm 139. Oh, the Lord, David was speaking about when he was in the womb. And let's just turn to it. Let's see this. Psalm 139, verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. He's saying, you knew me, you covered me, you knew all about me in the mother's womb. He goes on to say, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. And my soul knoweth right well. Now notice verse 15. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. He's talking about his conception in the womb. And he's saying in verse 15, my substance was not hid from thee. He says in verse 16, thine eyes did see my substance as yet being unperfect. He hadn't come to fullness of childhood or manhood, but yet the Lord saw his substance. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. David saying when he was in the womb, the Lord saw him for the person that he was and the person that he would become. There in the mother's womb. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, the Lord said to Jeremiah, before he formed him in the belly, he knew him. And I tell you, at the time of your very conception was no accident. It was that time appointed by the Lord. And I say again, it's for that reason that every Christian has a duty to oppose the abortion of children in the womb. And it is particularly relevant at this time in this province of ours. The time of your commencement was appointed by the Lord. The commencement of your days was appointed. But the character of your days was appointed. And that's really what Job gets down to deal with in chapter 7. What will man's days be like upon this earth? What will they be like? In this chapter, the 7th chapter of Job, and in this section, he mentions 4 characteristics of a man's life. I believe that every man will experience them at some point in his existence. They're the effects of the fall. They're the effects of sin coming into the world. And though you may have happy times, you might have a good life, you might have a long life, you might have a blessed life, yet I put it to you, at some point, these 4 characteristics that Job mentions, you will feel them, you will experience them. And they're the effect of sin coming into the world. Look at verse 1, he mentions servitude or service. He said, is there not an appointed time? The word appointed there means a time of hard service. He's speaking about work. He's speaking about labor. And he goes on in verse 1 to say, are not his days, man's days, also like the days of an hireling, one that is hard to work, one that is hard to serve, one that is paid his wages for the day's work. And it reminds us, because of sin, man must labor to earn his living. When Adam sinned, God said to him in the garden, by the sweat of your brow, he would eat his bread. The Bible reminds us that toil and labor and work, servitude, it's a mark of the fall. And I tell you what we receive and to earn our living, as we say, man has to work, he has to put effort in, he has to sweat, he has to labor. It's a characteristic of life. You'll notice that he mentions not only servitude, but he mentions sickness. Look at verse 5. My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. Job was a fit and healthy man for many years. He built up a great business. I was going to say a great empire. Maybe a business empire. But he built up a great business. And he worked hard. And for many years he enjoyed good health. And maybe that's the same with you and young people. Maybe, and I trust you will, of good health for many years. But eventually sickness comes. I don't know how many folk I have spoken to. And I'm not just talking about my time in Portadown. But in the ministry and my previous charges, when I visited the elderly, or I visited sick folk, either in hospital or a nursing home, and they've made the comment, I never thought this would come to me. I never saw the day that this sickness or infirmity would come to me. And Job was maybe the same. He had good health for many years, but there came a day whenever he was sick, he was laid low. And his skin was broken out and become loathsome. And I tell you, Sickness is a mark of the fall. We will all someday take an illness that will eventually lead to us departing this life, because man fell into sin. Man's days, I tell you, they're characterized by service, by toil, and by labor. They're characterized by sickness and illness. You'll notice that he mentions his days are short, the shortness of life. Verse 6, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. Oh, he's saying how quick his life has passed. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf. And the weaver's shuttle went so quick. He said, it's just like my life. When we're children, time seems to go so slow. As we get a little older, it seems to run. And the older we get, we look back and we say, time flies. 1 week goes into the next, 1 month to the next. The seasons come and they go. And we look back and we say how short life really is, how quickly it passes by. When you consider how old this earth is, and when you consider how long eternity is, and the little time we have upon this earth, isn't life so short? Our days are numbered. They're short, and they're short because of sin. Had Adam not sinned, the Lord said he would not have died. But when sin came into the world, his days were numbered, and how short they were. 70 years is now the allotted time for man by reason of strength of its 80 years. Yet the psalmist said again, they're spent in toil and labor. Our days are spent in service and servitude. Our days will no doubt bring sickness our way. They are short. And in verse 3, I believe he spoke about them being severe. For he said, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. The weary nights speak of man in trouble. Trouble, one sort or the other, keeps man awake at night. With Job, it was his sickness. Maybe it was his grief at the loss of his family. But oh, the long nights with lack of sleep. They speak of man, and his mind is not at rest, and he's contemplating his toils and his troubles. There's an unsettling. The Bible says man is of few days and full of trouble. He's born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Old man trouble, we don't need to go looking for him. One day he'll find us. And as I say, you may have happy times in life. You may live what you feel is a fulfilled life. But someday you will look back and say, it was hard service. Sickness will come your path. You will have trouble to contend with, and you'll say, life at best, my, it was very brief. Man's days are appointed. His coming into the world, because of sin coming into the world, the character of his life, he has to contend with the effects of the fall. This is what characterizes man's days upon this earth. His days are appointed. But I want to go a little further tonight and say, secondly, that his departure is appointed. Let's look at the question again. Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? And the question's implying that man only has a limited time. His days are short. And if his days are appointed, then they are limited. And if they are limited, then they must come to an end. And they will come to an end because of death. And at death, man will depart from this life. And just as when man entered the world, it was appointed, so when he departs this life, it is appointed too. The text implies it, but both Solomon and Paul declared it. For Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 2, there's not only a time to be born, but there's a time to die. Paul, that great well-known verse, he said, it is appointed unto man once to die. Because sin entered into the world, the consequences of sin is death, and therefore it is appointed unto man, because he is a sinner, to die. But I believe we can go further and say, there is a time and a date set in the calendar of God when each and every mortal being will depart this life and will die. The day when you exit this life by death is set in the calendar of God. You know, your life, it's just like that hourglass we were singing, the sands of time are sinking. I'm old enough to remember. I don't know if they still use them, but I remember my both sets of grandparents, they had the egg timer. And it was a small version of the hourglass. And it was supposedly when you were boiling the eggs, you flipped it over. By the time the sand emptied from the top compartment to the bottom compartment, well, your eggs should have been done. It depends, of course, how you like the egg. Some like it soft, and some like it hard. But apparently when the timer finished, your egg was ready. Well, the hourglass is just a bigger version of the egg timer. The sand within it, and when it was turned over, the sand began to drop from the top compartment to the bottom, and it took an hour for this sand to completely remove from one to the other. They were called the sands of time. I tell you, there was a day appointed when you came into this world, and there's a day appointed when you leave this world, and your life is just like the sands of time. They're slowly but surely ebbing away. And someday you will depart this life, and it's appointed, because it's appointed the time you will leave. Again, in this passage, Job emphasizes man's departure from this earth. And the one thing he highlights and underlines and underscores is the finality of death. You'll see it there in verse 9 and verse 10. He says, as the cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so is he that goeth down to the grave. There's the corruption of death. As the cloud is consumed, just disappears and vanisheth away, so is he that goes down to the grave. And he's speaking about the corruption of the body. How horrendous death is. How repulsive death is. When we depart this life, when the time appointed comes that we leave this life, then our bodies die and they return to the dust. God said unto Adam in the garden, dust thou art, I made you from the dust. I breathed into your nostrils the breath of life. You became a living soul. But because you sinned, you'll die. You'll return unto the dust. The body in death just breaks down and decays and vanishes away. That's the corruption of death. Then, look at verse 9 again, and you'll see it says, so is he that goeth down to the grave. So he vanishes away. It's final. There's corruption. There's a returning to the dust. Then it says, so is he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. That's the continuation in death. Now he's not thinking about the resurrection. He's thinking about the fact that, humanly speaking, without God's intervention, the resurrection is God's intervention because of the gospel and the work of Christ. But humanly speaking, when man goes down to the grave, he will never come up again. It's a one-way ticket. Your departure from this life, it's a journey and it's a one-way ticket. And when man goes down to the grave and his body decays and corrupts and returns to dust, humanly speaking, he will never come up again. That's the power the grave has upon mankind. Humanity has no answer to the grave. I remember a number of years ago, again, hearing in the news, a young individual, I think it was a female, a girl, she was just a young girl, and she was diagnosed with a disease, and there was no answer to it, and she was going to die. She requested that her body be frozen to such a degree or level and placed in some scientific center so that if man found a remedy to death, she could be brought back to life. It'll never happen. Man will never produce a remedy to death. He will never bring a body back from the state of death. When a man dies, he will not, humanly speaking, he will not return again. He will go down to the grave and he will come up no more. That's the power death has upon humanity. That's the continuation in death. You'll never come back. And then look at verse 10. He's speaking about our departure. Our departure from this earth that is appointed by God. And he's speaking about our corruption. He's speaking about our continuation under the power of death and the finality of it. And then he speaks about the conclusion. Look at verse 10. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more. That's the conclusion. You'll leave everything you own in this world behind. Your possessions, your pleasures, everything that you count valuable to you, everything you own, you'll leave it behind. Your house, your home, you'll visit it no more. Your place, let's just say Portadown or Craigavon, wherever you be from, that town you live in, and you walk up the street and folk would know you. They'll bid you farewell. They'll bid you good day. They'll stop in the street and they'll talk to you. The place where you lived and you worked and you did your business and you knew the people and had your home, it will know you again no more. That's the conclusion. You've got to leave it all behind. When you come to the river and the valley of death, you leave it all behind and your house becomes the possession of another. Your wealth is distributed to others. The place that you lived and worked will know you no more. That's the conclusion of your life. And the next appointment that you have is the appointment of the judgment. For it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Man's days are appointed on this earth. Man's departure is appointed from this earth. But let me close this evening by saying to you that man's duty on this earth is appointed. Are we just here to live our lives for self, for pleasure, for gain? Is there any divine purpose to us being on this earth? Yes, there is. God created us. God is our ruler and our judge. And God has set forth in His Word our duty and how we are to live on this earth. We're here to glorify the Lord. We're here to live for Him. We're here to obey Him. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, the Lord Jesus was approached by a lawyer, one of the religious Jews who studied the law in his day. And in verse 36, he asked the Lord a question. He said, "Which is the great commandment or the greatest commandment?" The Lord gave an answer. He said that the greatest commandment was to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, and with all thy might. Then he went on to say this. He said, "The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." The lawyer was thinking about the Ten Commands and which one the Lord would put the most importance upon or attach the most importance to. The Lord summarized the commandments, for he went on to say, "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Loving the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our mind and with all our strength fulfills the first four commandments. Loving our neighbor as ourselves fulfills the next six commandments. He says, "On these two hang all the law and the prophets." What the Lord was saying to that young man, number of things. The law is a unity. It stands as a single entity. But he was also saying to that young man, humanity has a God-given duty and responsibility. He is to love the Lord with all his heart and mind and strength, and he's to love his neighbor as himself. That's man's duty as it's revealed from God in the Ten Commandments. Do you know man's problem? In his sin, he can't fulfill his duty toward God. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. But sinners cannot fulfill that duty because of their sin. And that's why we have the gospel. In the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ becomes our Savior. He takes away the stony heart out of our flesh and He gives us the new heart. And part of that new heart, the new heart enables us to walk in His ways, to keep His commands and to fulfill His will. The Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross that He might give to sinners a new heart. They might be born again of the Spirit of God. Men and women, through the gospel, the new birth, repentance and faith, we can live for the Lord. We can fulfill His word. We can be right with Him. I wonder tonight, have you recognized that God is your lawgiver and judge? And He makes certain demands of your life. And only through the gospel and by the gospel can you fulfill what God the Lord requires of you. The gospel also makes certain demands. The gospel demands men to repent. The gospel commands men to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder tonight, have you considered that God commands and calls you to repentance and faith while you're upon this earth? I ask the question tonight, have you followed through with what God the Lord requires of you? Have you turned to the Lord? Have you experienced the new birth? And are you living His will out in your life? Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Your days are appointed. Your departure is appointed. Your duty is appointed. May you fulfill that duty and seek the Lord in the gospel to be saved and to live for Him. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts.